My most vivid memory from kindergarten, which was admittedly a long time ago, my most vivid memory was of a day that the teacher took us to the gymnasium and said we had 1 hour there to do whatever we wanted. Well, most of the kids were playing kickball and dodgeball and things like that. I spent the entire hour trying to make a basket. Not with a kickball, with a real basketball. I wasn't really interested in things that are made for kids. I wanted to do the big thing. I wanted to make a real basket. I did make one. I remember that too, in that hour. This is the season of Advent, and it is a time that, like that attempt in my childhood, it's a time that calls us to a task far beyond our capabilities and capacities. We are to prepare the way for the Messiah to come into our world. It seems impossible. And yet we are called to attempt that task over and over and over, no matter how impossible it may seem, no matter how high that goal looks from the vantage point of our little kindergarten eyes. Thank goodness the grace and the mercy of God mean that we are embraced when we fail. We are embraced and forgiven even when we refuse to try to reach that goal. We are always called to find God in this world and to prepare this world for God's incarnate presence. We are called to do the big thing, the real goal. Jesus has told us of that goal. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It is something that seems impossibly high. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of God's grace, reminds us that we are saved by that grace and that we are to offer grace to other people. We are to operate in forgiveness and compassion and mercy. It is an impossibly high goal, but one God calls us to approach again and again and again. We try continually to be loving and forgiving persons, to remind ourselves that we are one in Christ, even with the people who choose to hurt us. We are called to remember what Christ has done for us and to respond with appropriate gratitude, with grace toward other people. John the Baptist, in the story we have today from Luke, tells us how to begin to approach the impossible goal. The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." In this version of the story, people aren't exhorted to do something impossible. They are urged to do better what they do already on an everyday basis. You have two coats, share one. Feed others. Be fair in your dealings with other persons. Do not threaten people just because you have more power than they do. This story in Luke is the only time the story is told which gives these positive human acts to reveal and glorify the presence of God. Now this reading, the portion we read today, has John the Baptist starting with very dramatic language. I think he's beginning to tell us that the change that should be wrought in us by pursuing that lofty goal is also going to be dramatic. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.'" He is saying, you have to do something. You have to pursue that lofty goal, and you can do it with small acts of kindness and love. Don't just rest on the fact that you feel you're the chosen people of God. These admonitions from the writer of Luke's gospel, they come from a person's having seen God incarnate in Jesus. He had seen Jesus feed and heal, embrace and forgive. So his account pushes people out of their complacency, where they see themselves as already chosen by God. He challenges them to live in the grace and presence of God, even in their jobs. Even if their job is tax collector or a soldier of the oppressive ruling regime. He told us how to start. But we resist the call to imitate Christ, partly because it does seem impossible for us. And so, daunted by that challenge, we resist with anger, resentment, arrogance, hostility motivated by fear, and by silencing any truth we do not want to hear. And when we do those things, we retain the chaff within us, a term that describes not only an evil person, but the evil within one person. We have to keep trying to eliminate that chaff from our own hearts. We have to keep trying and working through our resistance. We keep tossing the ball over and over at that unreachable goal. And as we persevere, God transforms our very being. This counsel from John the Baptist calls us to be good, loving persons in every dimension of life, including jobs, conversations, relationships. Living in the image of God, we speak up instead of remaining silent, because too often our silence translates as a tacit endorsement of the malice around us. How do we keep moving toward that goal of imitating Christ? It is in small acts that we do it. We say out loud that it is wrong to view other people as less because of their race, color, or religion. We protest when someone tells a joke or makes a comment that demeans other people. We remember and realize that looking for some form of offense in every encounter is wrong. We are to get along, to love one another, to hold each other to high standards. It is wrong to claim privilege at the expense of another human being. We do these things in very small ways. They make up a very lofty and difficult truth which looks unreachable from where we stand. It looks as impossible as a 10-foot-high basketball goal looks to a kindergarten child. The impossible goal we seek repeatedly is imitation of our loving God in Christ. The Christian life requires us, even as flawed and forgetful as we can be, to keep attempting over and over to love others as God loves us. To be honest, this task of loving others and preparing the way for the Messiah, it's too big for us little people. But we are urged, we are inspired, we are even commanded to keep trying. Only in small, everyday acts can we begin to move ourselves and our culture back toward God. It does no good to speak in religious or ethical platitudes or slogans if we're not going to do something to attempt to reach that goal. Only action taken by one good person in a conversation, a relationship, or a meeting, only action moves the world. Whether we are tax collectors, or soldiers, or priests, or any other manner of person, that's the only way we move the world toward God. God asks us the near impossible to prepare the way for the Messiah. We may never make that goal. We may feel frustrated in it always. And yet God asks us nonetheless to spend our entire time here trying to do the big thing. Amen.